Morning, everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Josiah, as Joe has alluded to, and it really is a privilege. I shared that in the email this week. It is a privilege to open God's Word, to spend time thinking, what is God's Word to us today? Most of you, or many of you, will know that before I trained to be a pastor, I lived the life of a professional musician, performing, writing, conducting, touring, you know, the works. I started, like many, keyboard lessons at age 9, drum lessons around then too, guitar lessons around 11. I wanted to do it all. By the end of intermediate school, I could averagely read music. And someone decided to invite me to join a band, and I thought, great! Every kid wants to be in a band, right? How good! Turned up, and it wasn't exactly the type of band that I had in mind. No electric guitars, or pianos for that matter. Instead, there were trombones and trumpets, flutes and clarinets. It was a concert band, or a wind band. And I was invited to play not drums with this group, but percussion, which is the hitty things, right? And one thing led to another, and I discovered, well, I actually like this. I actually love playing in the back row, hitting, making lots of noise. It gets to be half the show. And so I ended up playing lots of percussion and drums for orchestras, some of the best in the country. It was a real privilege. And one of the instruments that I'd often get called to play as a percussionist was, any guesses? I've got one of them here, actually. Any guesses what that instrument was? Cymbals? No. But yes. One of my favorites. The triangle! Quite an illustrious instrument, not for the faint of heart, requires a reasonable amount of technique and a lot of focus. And you might laugh and you think, what on earth is he doing playing a triangle in front of the middle of preaching? Good question. Is it tuned? Yep, that one is actually. It's a very expensive one, believe it or not. Triangle, among a few other percussion instruments, is one of the staples of an orchestra. Summoned in one of the most dramatic of moments to cut right through everyone else. You can hear a triangle over an entire orchestra. It's almost as visually dramatic as it is to the ears. And the life of a percussionist often involves a lot of time of waiting. A long time often, just to play a few notes. Compared to a violinist who might have thousands or tens of thousands in, let's say, a big symphony, a percussionist gets off pretty lightly. Often, you know, I think the record's about 2 triangle hits in a whole piece of music. The funny thing also, though, is that every musician in an orchestra more or less gets paid the same amount. So if you're only playing 2 notes, it's a pretty good rate per note, right? But if you don't have the triangle, don't have the percussionist there up the back, then something is missing. All those 2 notes, they make a difference. The composer's full vision isn't complete if someone is missing. In fact, have any part of an orchestra not there and something is missing, the music is no longer complete. Paul says this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." We're in the middle of this series in 1 Corinthians, these foundational truths about what it means to be the church, to be one united family, one whānau. And in chapter 12 today, we'll see that all of us are needed to be Christ's body, to build one another up, to serve one another, so that Christ might be reflected to the world. Let's pray as we come to God's word. God, we believe you have spoken in these words, first to this church 2,000 years ago, but now too, by your Spirit to us. And Lord, as Joe has prayed, remove the scales from our eyes. Remove the hardness of our hearts that can so quickly become hard if we're not aware to what your Spirit is saying. And with these words from Scripture, your words, would they sink into our hearts in the way that you want us to hear them this morning? Amen. Let's read chapter 12. And if you've got your Bibles, to turn to them or turn them on, click, and we'll read together the whole chapter 12. "Now about the gifts of the spirits. Spirit. Sorry, that was terrible. Gifts of the Spirit. There is one. I'm about to make that point. Now about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Probably one of the more familiar passages to us, right? I imagine that most of us, if we've been in church for a while, have heard this preached several times. And the body is an image that you might think of regularly when you think about metaphors for the church. And yet, it's something that we can slip into forgetting so quickly, or realizing just how significant, how powerful this image is. It's probably one of the reasons that Paul has needed to write this into his letter, to remind this church of, right, in the first place. In Corinth, this place where the church is receiving the letter, spirituality is really complex, far more diverse and far more visible than in our context today. Pagan worship everywhere, temples, idols, ecstatic rituals. To be spiritual in Corinth could mean all sorts of things, and most of them, probably all of them, not connected to Christ at all. And so we get in the sense in the very beginning that not all spirituality is beneficial. The spirituality of pagans, or Paul, the more literal translation is when you were Gentiles, when you were outside of the flock, to translate it more literally, that spirituality has led you astray, Paul says. And so in the first verses, we see Paul's just straightening this all out again. I do not want you to be uninformed, he says. It's the Spirit of God One Spirit, not spirits, the Spirit of God that brings us to faith in Christ. And for those of us who are in Christ, to use Paul's language, are then gifted by the Spirit. Different gifts. Do you see the threefold repetition in verses 4 to 6? The same Spirit, Lord, and God. 1, 2, 3. Language of a triune God who gives different gifts, different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working. But in all, it's the same God at work, the same building, same Spirit building and equipping his church. And then notice in verse 7, here's the why. Here's the why, which is really important. Often in Paul, Paul's writing, there's one verse that there's this hinge and everything just opens up on this hinge. One moment Paul is saying something and then there's this key statement which then opens up the rest of everything that follows. And it's this. Up until this point, Paul has said there's one Spirit, different gifts. And then Paul shows where he's really heading. Verse 7, Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's the heart of this chapter. The Spirit's gifts aren't random, and nor are they about self-promotion. They're not divided up to create winners and losers and a hierarchy. They're given to each person, no exception, every person, and they're given for the common good, which shapes everything about how we need to think about gifting. It's nothing about showing off, and it's everything about building up the body. Our spirituality and our relationship with the Spirit, yes, that's important for us personally. It grows us in our faith, and it deepens our walk with God. But Paul's point here is gifting is not for that purpose primarily. The gifts of the Spirit are not about my personal growth, your personal growth, my experience with God, your experience with God. They're given for something much bigger, for the common good, for the good of the body. Or in other words, your gift finds its fullest meaning not in you, but in us. And that's as radically countercultural today as it would have been when the hearers first heard this letter. And so it leads us on to what Paul says next. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. There's lots of repetition. You kind of got to get your head around it. But just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with... If you're reading the sentence for the first time, listening to Paul writing da-da-da-da-da-da-da, how would you complete the sentence? So it is with... Well, Paul's talking to a group in Corinth, right? Followers of Jesus, a small church. Paul's using a metaphor, and my guess is that the assumption of those at reading would be that Paul would say, well, so it is with the church, right? Or so it is with you corporately. One body, so it is with you. It's a metaphor. But he doesn't. And it's important. So it is with Christ, he says. Paul, he's not using the body image here in this chapter by an accident. The main way that this chapter is often interpreted is that church is built of lots of different people. The church is people, it's not a building. It's built of lots of people, and everyone has their part to play. And that's true. I say yes and amen to that. But it's not the only truth that Paul's talking about here. Paul is very specific here, and specifically using language here as a Jewish thinker, because when he talks about bodies, and particularly Christ's body, he's talking about a new creation. Something we've celebrated this morning with communion, being reminded that Jesus comes out of the grave. He is a new creation. Bodies that we see created by God in Genesis 1 and 2, transformed because of all that Jesus has done, renewed in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ, in whom God has made a new humanity, a new body. In the words of Tom Wright, the church then is to be the place where together we learn how to be God's genuinely human beings, the fullest of human, worshiping God and serving him by reflecting his image into the world. Each part of the body is part of the body of Christ. those who are made new, baptized into Christ's body and sustained by the Spirit. That's what it means when it says given the one Spirit to drink. This is what is at the heart of Paul's message, what he's trying to communicate. In Christ, all of us are a new body, his body called to reflect God's glory to the world. And so when we live as this body together, we show the world what living as a new creation looks like. And then Paul develops this metaphor, and he's talking about various members of the body, the hand, the ear, the eye. Every part, an integral part of the body is Christ, placed just as God intended. There's a beautiful gift in the diversity that there is in the body of Christ. And diversity isn't just nice, Paul would say, it's necessary. Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be, Paul says? As it is, there are many parts but one body. Can you imagine a band of drummers? Be awesome for a little bit. I'd enjoy it. But it'd be lacking in many areas, and over time it'd get pretty tiring, maybe. Or perhaps a better analogy, imagine a whole orchestra of triangles. That would be no good. Imagine a football team of goalies. Exactly. What? Every member of the body is uniquely created in order to build up the body. A mouth is needed to eat, an eye is needed to see, a hand needed to hold. Each part created and placed in the perfect spot for the common good. A very brief side note that I thought was worth mentioning. Paul talks about members of the body, right? All these different parts. A hand is a member, right? And that's actually where we get the language of membership from as a church. Not membership in the sense of gym membership, where you belong to an organization, but membership as belonging to the body. For us as a church, membership has nothing to do with belonging to an organization, a denomination, and instead it's everything about commitment to one another, commitment to the other members of the body. If you want to talk more about membership and what that means, and one of the elders would love to chat. But every part is important, and because of that, Paul says we must honor and acknowledge all members of the body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Instead, we're called to honor every part, particularly perhaps those that are less honorable. And Paul turns this honor-shame context completely on its head. Those parts of the body that might seem weaker, no, they're indispensable, he says. Those that are less honorable, well, treat them with special honor. Ever had a broken arm or a leg and you notice how the rest of your body has to compensate because of it? You know, the body is worse off when one part can't do what it's supposed to do. Every part is important. And if we're not careful, and perhaps that's what was going on in this church, if we're not careful, we can start valuing one gift over another, particularly perhaps those gifts that we see in public versus the ones that just happen in the background. At the end of the chapter, Paul says, desire the greater gifts. And he's not saying that some people, some gifts are more important. He's pointing us to the gifts that build up the body. And he's actually pointing to the chapter that's to come that Wendy will look at next week, which is a greater way of being, loving one another. Those of you who serve this church in ways that no one ever sees, thank you. Whether it's the way you pray and intercede regularly for this family, like hidden arteries that carry the life of a body. Whether it's John faithfully putting every single one of these chairs out every week. Whether it's those that are gifted in administration, holding things together behind the scenes. Thank you. You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ at work, and we want to honor you. We all need one another. No one is dispensable. Not one of our gifts is more helpful or more spiritual. All of us required to do our part. And then the flip side of that is that when one of us doesn't operate in the gifting God has given us, then the whole body actually suffers. As I read through this chapter over the week, I couldn't help but think about the suffering that there is in other parts of the body, which Joe has alluded to briefly. There is one body of Christ, those who the Spirit has drawn into the body of Christ. There isn't a Baptist body of Christ, a Presbyterian body of Christ, a Catholic body of Christ, nor is there a Te Puke body of Christ, a New Zealand body of Christ. The body of Christ, the church, is separated, not separated by gender or culture or race or theological convictions. Paul's communicating that we are to be a local body, part of Christ's universal body. Today marks the last service of the Presbyterian Church up the road. Part of the body of Christ, which many of you might have connections with over the years, that will be no longer as it currently is. And Te Puke will be worse off because of it. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And our connections move past buildings and they move past organization. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it, Paul says. So before we move on, just take a breath for a moment. Who comes to mind for you? Someone suffering? Someone who's carrying pain, maybe unseen? That's part of our body. And we need to acknowledge the hurt that other parts feel. We look across the world too, and we don't have to look far before we see suffering in the body of Christ. Those who are martyred for their faith, those who are under persecution or oppression. Open Doors, and this map is from Open Doors, is an organization that works with the persecuted church. They suggest 1 in 7 Christians worldwide are persecuted. Which I thought, okay, yep, we live in a probably growing to be a minority part of the world, but 1 in 7, 380 million Christians. That number staggered me. 380 million Christians worldwide that are experiencing persecution for their faith. That's staggering. Gaza, Nigeria, both have been in my social media feeds this week showing brothers and sisters in Christ, part of our body, who are suffering. And it's something that should grieve us. We need to be aware of it. It should grieve us, and not out of a sense of this false guilt because we've got it so good and oh, how bad for them over there, but because we're spiritually connected. We are part of one body. We live in such a privileged country with so much freedom, but there are so many that don't. Verse 27. Now, lots of nows, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Until this point, Paul's kind of been circling around. Lots of repetition, lots of metaphor being fleshed out, excuse the pun. But he lands the metaphor here. He brings what he's trying to communicate into land. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. All of you brought to the knowledge that Jesus is Lord because of the work of the Spirit. All of you collectively are the body of Christ. Every one of you is part of this body, this worldwide church. Every one of you is part of building up the body, contributing what the Spirit has freely gifted you so that we can be brought to maturity, so that we as one body can reflect Jesus to the world. All of you have a role to play. All of you called to serve in the gifting that God has given you for the sake of the rest of the body. And we have rosters for ministry areas, and we all love rosters. Well, at least the administrators among us do, right? But being the body of Christ is far more than filling rosters, checking boxes, or just getting shifts covered, making sure there's someone to do morning tea this afternoon. But that would be really helpful. It's entirely about belonging, about every person, every part of the body finding its place. Every person serving as they are called to, not out of compulsion and not to fill a roster, but because this is what you're gifted in. Some of you might feel small and ordinary this morning. You might think, I'm just a hand, I'm just a toe, I'm not that important. But here's the truth. The body doesn't function without every single part. In fact, sometimes the parts that seem less significant are the ones that keep the whole body alive and healthy. Your presence, your prayer, your smile, your encouragement, your skill, even if no one notices it, perhaps if no one notices it, all of this matters to the life of the body. And so the question for each of us is simple. Where is my place? Or perhaps, how is God calling me to serve? Am I stepping into the gifts he's given me, not out of obligation, but out of love for the body, out of the desire to see Jesus reflected in our world? I wonder if you might just pause for a second and just reflect on these three questions. And just ask the Spirit to speak to you, to reveal whatever the Spirit has for you this morning. Where is my place? How is God calling me to serve? Am I stepping into the gifts that he has given me? To bring things into land, I was also reflecting this week on how sometimes we need other parts of the body to remind us of the gifting that they see in us. A hand needs an eye to know that it's a hand and what a hand can do, to guide it. A tooth needs a tongue to know what it's really for, right? The foot needs the ear to help keep it in rhythm with the rest of the body. And in the same ways, we sometimes don't fully see the gifts that God has given us for ourselves. We might underestimate ourselves. We live in a tall poppy syndrome culture where we pull ourselves down or pull others down. We might feel small or insignificant, like our part doesn't really matter. But God places other people around us, other parts of the body to speak truth over us, to encourage us, to remind us, to recognize in us what God has given us, what we bring to the body. I am so grateful for the many of you that who encourage and call out what you see in me. Thank you. I'm very public though. It's easy to see. That's why we call out the gold each week, celebrating what we see in those around us, honoring them for the way that they are part of this church family. And so to finish this morning, I'd love to invite you to have an ICU conversation. I heard this in the past week, and because it was such good timing, I was totally stolen the idea. I'm going to pray to finish in a moment. And then I'd love you to find at least one person. Find at least one person in the next 2 minutes and tell them, I see in you. See what I did there? I see in you. I see in you this gifting. Or I see that God is developing this in you. Let's encourage one another. Let's remind each other of the gifts that God has placed in us. Because when every part knows and is affirmed in its place, when every part is affirmed in its role in the body grows stronger, more alive, more fully alive in Christ, and therefore more fully reflective to the world around us. of what it means to be a new creation, those who have found true life in Jesus. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. And we thank you for the privilege it is to be your body, to be invited to be in relationship with one another and with you by your Spirit, Jesus. Thank you for the gifts that you've given each of us, those that we are aware of and those that we might not be yet, Lord. Would you help us to be confident in stepping into the areas that you're calling us to, God? Bold in just giving things a go and seeing what happens, God, if we feel led. Help us to encourage one another, Lord, to love one another well, to acknowledge the gifts and the importance that every part of the body is. Lord, we acknowledge the parts of this body that do go unseen, that just keep doing their thing, serving in the way that they're called, but are unseen, Lord. Thank you for their faithfulness. Would we grow, Jesus, to be more reflective of who you are? As a church community, as those called to love the world that we're in, to represent you to the world that we live in. Thank you. Amen.